All right, so it's a little different this morning. I don't know if we've ever had a singles and campus lesson before, but I'm excited about this. This is great. I mean, the campus are going to be soon where the singles are, and so there just needs to be great relationships in this room, and vice versa with the teens and the campus and the singles, because we're all on the same journey here. We're all just different ages or different life circumstances. But this morning, I'm going to talk about doing the work of God. Amen. And, you know, it's one of those topics that you can look at and you're like, well, what is the work of God? So we're going to look here in Luke chapter 14. All right. So go ahead and turn there. Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 25. It reads, large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. All right, we'll stop there. You know, Jesus is laying it out. He's drawing a line in the sand, if you will. He says, if you want to be with me, you must cross this line. And the line is putting me first above everything and everybody, and yes, even yourself. Amen. And then he says, you must carry your cross. You must deny yourself. He says, if you do not do these things, you cannot be my follower. You cannot be a Christian. Obviously, he didn't use the word Christian. But you cannot be a disciple if you are not doing these things. So I want to ask you guys, what else are we called to do as Christians or as disciples? What do you see? All right.
Bringing people to God.
Okay. Bringing people to God. All right. I know... we have disciples in here, right? So, all right.
Deny yourself and put Jesus first.
Okay. Deny yourself and put Jesus first. I'm not going to call on you yet. You can keep your hand up. All right.
To be humble, consider others before yourself.
All right. To be humble and consider others. That's huge.
Encourage one another daily.
Encourage one another daily. All right. We're getting rolling.
Repent.
Repent. There it is. All right.
Love your neighbor as yourself.
Love your neighbor as yourself. Roddy.
Pray for one another.
Oh. Pray for one another? Did I see another here?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I'm thinking Isaiah 58 about your family. Don't neglect your family.
Don't neglect your family. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Tell the truth.
Tell the truth.
Yeah.
Okay. What else?
Serving each other.
Serving one another?
Forgive as God in Christ forgave you.
Yeah. Forgiveness. You know, there's, I mean, hopefully we can keep going and going, because basically our duties and our tasks are endless. But there are so many things as disciples that we're called to do. And we're going to look at a passage here in Luke 17. Go ahead and turn over there. And we'll see here from this passage that these things, being humble, loving one another, forgiving, praying for one another, you know, giving, caring, denying yourself and carrying your cross. These are just tasks. They're not our work. So we'll look here in Luke 17, starting at verse 7. It says, suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? Would he not rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you may eat and drink. Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. Amen. This is a very humbling passage. Jesus is teaching them, guys, you're just doing what you're told to do. You're not doing anything extra. This is not your work. This is just mere duties. And the duties are important. Right? If the servant wasn't doing his duties, then he would no longer be the servant, and there would be no need for the servant. So the duties are huge, but the question remains, what is our work? What is our work as followers of Jesus? What is our work as disciples? What is the work that you and I do? Something that we do on a regular basis. Go ahead and turn to John chapter 6, and we're going to camp out here for a while. John chapter 6. So Jesus just fed the 5,000. So there's a lot of people following him. And even more so now that he fed them and they're happy. Jesus kind of walks away from them on the water. He catches up with his disciples. And the crowd finds out, wow, okay, he went across. Let's go over there. So starting in verse 25 of chapter 6, it says, when they found him, talking about the crowd, on the other side of the lake, they asked, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. You are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed the seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must we do? What must we do the work God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. You know, I love this passage. This is what I've been studying out for about almost 2 weeks now. Just my work and our work is to believe in Jesus.
Amen.
That is it. Wow. That is our work. Now, our duties are all those other things that we listed, but this is our work, to believe in Jesus, to believe in the one that God sent. I don't know about you, but that helps me a lot. It makes it much simpler. It's very clear and defined for me. Wow. I need to believe in Jesus.
Amen.
And that entails a lot, obviously, because you read the New Testament or you just read the Gospels. There's a lot of things that Jesus said. Some things that are very shocking and very bold. You're like, wow, okay, my job is to believe him, to believe what he said is true.
Yeah.
You know, John has the 10 I am statements. And we're going to read through those 10. Because our work is to believe in him. So what he says, if he says, I am, that means we need to believe that.
Right.
And he says some powerful things in these I am statements. Jesus is incredible. He is God in the flesh. And he reveals that when he talks about some of these I am statements. Let's go ahead and we're right here, John chapter 6. You can write down these references or you can turn there. We're just going to go in chronological order. So John chapter 6, starting in verse 51. Jesus says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world.
Amen.
Yeah, that's the first one. I am the living bread. John 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
Amen.
I am the light of the world. That is a very bold statement. Whoever walks with me will never walk in darkness.
Amen.
That's incredible. John 8, verse 23. Jesus has given it to them here. in verse 20 says, "You are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be. You will indeed die in your sins." Wow. Verse 58 of John chapter 8. "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." He's proclaiming that he is God himself in this statement. Before Abraham was, I am. John chapter 10, verse 9. "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief only comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." The only way to get to heaven, Jesus is saying, through me. I am the gate. I am the entrance. You're not getting to eternal life without me.
Amen.
John chapter 10, verse 11. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." You know, if you've never done a study on what shepherds do, I encourage you to do it. That will make this much bigger for you when Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." Because he's saying, "I lead you, I guide you, I protect you, I look after you. You'll be fine. You'll be protected. I'm going to lead you to green grass and fresh water. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to take care of you. You're my pride and joy." I mean, the shepherd loved his sheep. He protected them. John chapter 10, verse 36. "What about the one whom the Father has set apart as his very own and sent him into the world? Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said, I am God's son?" I am God's son. John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life."
Amen.
And he questions her, "Do you believe this, that you will never die?" John chapter 14. Verse 6. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do not know him. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Yet again, Jesus is saying, "I am the only way."
Amen.
I am the only way. If you've seen me and you know me, then you know the Father and you have seen the Father. These are incredible statements. One last one, John 15, verse 1. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener." You know, we've looked at 10 I am statements. I want to ask you guys and get some feedback. Which of these statements helps you believe? Or maybe which one of these is very difficult for you to believe?
Travis.
One that really helps me is, you know, he's a good shepherd, and so when I'm looking at life and things that they just look like nothing good can come of this. You know, things that are out of my control sometimes just put myself in bad positions. I'm talking about when it's just out of my control. When that happens, I just think, well, God, Jesus is a good shepherd, and so there's the only reason he's allowing this to happen to me is because something good is going to come up. You know, and that just helps me put my mind at ease instead of freaking out, like, what's going to happen, what's going to happen.
Mm. That's great. Yeah.
John 14:6, the people on their way. So you never have to think like, oh, well, should I do something else? Like, as long as you're doing it for God or you're glorifying God, you know, it's the right way. All
right, that's awesome.
John 8:23, he's not from this world. Because, you know, when I'm going through stuff, I'm like, why is this world so bad? You know, like, why is everything going on, like, in this way and in this manner? I can remember that Jesus isn't of this world, so his ways are not my ways, his thoughts are not my thoughts. He's not going to do things the way this world does them, because he's not from here, he's from above.
That's awesome.
John 15, this keeps me humble. Always keeps my eyes open to realize that I can't do anything apart from Jesus. And that I should always invite him and go back to him for everything. Yeah.
Nice. That's awesome.
11:25, when he says, I'm the resurrection and the life, it gives me confidence that Jesus is everything in life, period. Like, the whole point of me living, everything I do when I wake up in the morning, if he wasn't here, there'd be no point to life. So that he's everything. And I've been reading through John, so this is encouraging again. But when he says in 8:51, anyone who keeps my word will never taste death. And when I can actually believe that, suddenly I'm not afraid anymore. Life isn't as challenging and overwhelming. I'm just like, there's a promise there that's so great. So that helps me a lot.
Amen.
8:12, when Jesus spoke in, he said, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. Sometimes you look around yourself, all you see is darkness out in the world, so it's very comforting to know that if you're with Jesus, you won't walk in that darkness.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Oh, okay, cool. John 10:10 is one of my favorite scriptures. I've got plenty of favorite scriptures, but that's one because I want fun. And Jesus says, I've come to them, they have life and life to the fullest. Being a Christian is not a bit, it's not about being a boring, horrible, oh, I'm missing out kind of life. It's a, I'm going to have the best fun in Christ.
Amen.
And live my life to the fullest.
Amen.
Yeah. 8:58, where it says, I am. It just shows you how he's all powerful. There's no issue, no situation. There's nothing that he can't overcome or overpower. And he's just that big.
True. Yeah.
John 6:51, Jesus is the living bread. And, you know, being around, I've seen, you know, where people go after a lot of things, you know, in this world to fill them up and to think that that will make them happy. You know, everything from jobs to money, you know, to books and things like that. But Jesus says, I am the living bread. So to fill yourself with Jesus and his word, you know, that gives you true life, I believe.
Yeah.
I was 11:25 and 26. Because he tells us that he's the life, and he says that we'll have life even though we die. And I feel like that's difficult for us sometimes, because if we know that, then why do we, like, do we just forget about it when we don't trust him with other things in our life? If he's going to give us life even though we die, and that's kind of the ultimate thing for us, then why do we lack trust in certain areas? So I think that's difficult for us sometimes.
I am the gate. A couple of times, some of us went down this place called the Exploration and Antiquity Center, and they explained like the life of a shepherd. And the shepherd sleeps like in the doorway. So if someone's going to come in, they're going to have to step over him. You know, if they manage to get in somehow, the easiest way to get out it would be to be going through the gate. Well, Jesus is saying that there's nothing that gets in here with, you know, without me knowing. Mm-hmm. And that's really assuring to me, because even though I may go through, you know, trials and troubles, Jesus has a purpose for it. You know, and it's a good thing, so it's really reassuring. Really cool. By the way, you guys really need to go that way.
Awesome. What is it?
The Exploration of the Antiquity Center in LaGrange.
Oh, in LaGrange. Okay, out in the country.
You can visit my parents.
So for me, one that's really comforting and also quite challenging is 14:6, that he's way to keep him alive. It's comforting because I know I'm going the right way, but it's also challenging because I think of so many people that I know that I think are so great, mm-hmm. but they're not going through Jesus. Mm-hmm. And he is the only way. It's is there a loophole? It's not tax law, hoping that there's like some way to get around it, but there's no way. And then another way that it's difficult for me is, even though I know I need to go back to the Bible, there's sometimes I just want to go off of my own understanding. Mm-hmm. And like, well, I've grown up and I've done this, that, and the other. My mama told me that I'm supposed to go God. And so I'm wanting to go that way instead of, no, I need to go right back through the paradox that is Jesus. And so even though it's comforting, at times it can be very difficult.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
John 15, when he says, I am the vine and you are the branches, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. And it just reminds me that I must remain in Jesus. Being in Christ, being baptized into Christ, I gotta remain in him. I have to continually put on Christ every day and remain in the Word and remain living it out. But he promises that if I remain in him, that I will bear much fruit. It's not like you might bear fruit if you work really hard or something, but if I'm in Christ, I will bear much fruit.
Right.
Amen. Yeah, these are, I mean, the I am statements are incredible. And it is our work to believe in Jesus. To believe in all these I am statements and so much more. I mean, to say that I am the light, I am the resurrection. Whoever believes in me will never die. I am the living bread. My flesh is real bread, real food, and my blood is real drink. I mean, these are incredible statements. And one of my favorite ones, well, is when Jesus says, before Abraham was born, I am. We're going to read what he was saying before he said that, because it is challenging. And it is difficult. And Jesus is strong and he's bold. In John chapter 8, starting in verse 41, says, we are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and now am here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me? Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. The Jews answered him, aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed? I am not possessed by a demon, said Jesus, but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. I tell you the truth, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. At this, the Jews exclaimed, now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died and so did the prophets. Yet you say that if anyone keeps your word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are? Jesus replied, if I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. You are not yet 50 years old, the Jews said to him, and you have seen Abraham? I tell you the truth, Jesus answered. Before Abraham was born, I am. At this, they picked up stones to stone him, because Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. Yeah, this is just an incredible encounter. I mean, Jesus did not hold back. And even through his rebukes, we need to believe in him. I mean, I could sit here now and be like, let's go, Jesus, and be super fired up. I don't know how I'd feel if I was like standing next to him and he's like telling these people that their father's the devil. I was like, oh my goodness. I might just kind of like walk away a little bit. All right, where are you going with this one? But we need to believe in him. That is our work. I mean, Jesus did not hold back. He was fearless. And he knew that when he says, I am, they were going to try to stone him. Yeah. You know, he called them liars, and that the father's the devil. They're like, all right, whatever, man, you're just crazy. But then when he said, before Abraham was born, I am, they're just like, all right, this dude needs to die right now. And this is who we need to believe in. This is our work, to believe in him. Yeah. Even during the difficult times, when he's rebuking people, when he's rebuking us, and the times where he's comforting, the times where he cares for, all of his I am statements, the kind words, the kind acts, his sacrifice, his divine power, we need to believe in him. Amen. That is our work. Amen. Our work is to believe in him. You know, in the campus this semester, we've had a grand total of 0 baptisms. I know that the singles, you guys have had 2? This 2? Okay. 1, 2? But anyways, that does not change our work. Amen. It doesn't change our work. It doesn't change what we do. Amen. I want you to be encouraged. Still, our job is to spread the seed.
Yep. Yeah.
To plant it, to water. God will make it grow.
Amen.
So whether there's baptisms, whether there's people falling away, no matter what happens, church leadership falls apart, new people are hired, war breaks out, it doesn't matter. Our work does not change.
Right.
Our work is to believe in Jesus.
Right.
So it doesn't change. So that's the constant. That is our rock. That is the foundation. And when we believe in that and when we focus on our work, all these other things that go on, it doesn't matter. Because
yeah.
We're like, well, Jesus, you said this, and I believe that. I see all this craziness, but you are true. So this is all going to work out.
Yeah.
It's all going to be okay. It's going to be great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because you said you are the gate. Because you said you are the light. Because you said you are the resurrection. And you're the truth. You're the way. You're the life. That you are the true vine. And I believe in that. And I'm working hard to believe in that. That is our work. So regardless of what happens, be encouraged. Believe in the truth of Jesus instead of buying in the lies of Satan.
Amen.
You know, so sometimes it's so easy for us to buy and believe in the lies that Satan presents to us. Much easier than when it is God's word or Jesus. But our work is to believe in him. So since that's our work, what do you do if you find yourself not believing? Go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 9. And this is where we'll close out. Mark chapter 9. Starting in verse 21. Says, Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for him who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you come out of him and never enter him again. So what do you do if you find yourself not believing? Be open and be vulnerable with God. Like, you know what? I believe that you are the only way, God. But man, help me overcome my unbelief. This is difficult. When I see these people who have good lives, but they're not following you, how is that true? Help me overcome my unbelief. Man, life is hard right now. You said you'll give me the desires of my heart. I haven't seen those yet. Help me overcome my unbelief. It takes coming to Jesus and being real. This dad was desperate. And he was real with Jesus. He's like, I do believe. But help me overcome my unbelief. Please help me. He will help us. Jesus will help us. He is humble and gentle in heart. Oftentimes he meets us where we are. You know, when Peter was sinking in the water, he reached out his hand and grabbed Peter. Peter didn't grab Jesus. Jesus grabbed Peter. You know, Jesus is there. We just have to be real. If we're like, no, I'm going to believe, and we're trying to white knuckle our way through this, God is going to be like, all right, when are you going to humble out? I'm going to just stand here. When are you going to ask for help? When are you going to get real with yourself? And then once we finally do that, he's like, all right, great, come on. So don't try to white knuckle your way. Realize that Jesus is there for you and I. And the way that we do this, that we don't white knuckle our way through this and force our belief, I'm going to do this, this is going to be awesome, is you have to study out Jesus. Study him out. You know, something I've been doing, I've just been reading the red letters. And it's been great. I'm like, I don't hear all the other stuff. I just hear what Jesus says. And I'm like, oh, wow. This paints it in a whole new light. This is incredible. Get to know him. Walk with him. That's how his disciples believed in him. That's how they were able to die, is because they walked with Jesus and they saw him. So you and I need to do the same thing. Walk with him. Learn from him. Talk to him. Ask him. Jesus talked about this. He continued to say, pray, pray, and pray. Don't ever give up. Don't ever stop. Continue to pray. Nag God. Annoy him with your prayers, with your begging. And Jesus said, if you lack anything, ask, seek, and knock. So if you're lacking belief, ask, seek, and knock. And continue to do that order until God gives it to you. And then you can stand up and say, you know what? All 10 I am statements, I got them. I'm doing my work. My work is believing in Jesus, and I'm working hard at it. And I'm a great employee of God. Bam! Do I believe in Jesus? Nothing holds me back. Nothing stops me. Jesus says the harvest is plentiful. All right, I'm out there. The harvest is plentiful. It's ripe for the picking. Jesus says, I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's awesome. He is there with me. I believe in him. And through that, he will be glorified. And our duties and our tasks that are required of us become so much simpler. Because we're like, man, you are the life. Let me do whatever you say. Let me serve you. Let me give to you. Let me give to your people. Let me help them. It all starts with believing in Jesus. We have to start with our work. And then the duties and tasks will just naturally follow. If we start with the duties and tasks, we get burdened. Because we're not walking with Jesus. We're not believing. We're just forcing our way. And if you know anybody who forced their way, they don't make it to the end. They don't. Whether that's a job, a major in college. How many people switched majors? About everybody, right? I think that's the common thread in college. You will switch majors. But you cannot white knuckle your way through this. You have to go to Jesus. You have to be at his feet and learn from him and believe and do our work.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.